folks. Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, the homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, and morality, largely because we have abandoned a biblical worldview, a biblical outlook on things. And we're constantly trying to bring a biblical worldview back. You say, what is a biblical worldview? A biblical worldview is a God-centered way of looking at metaphysics, epistemology, and ethics. Okay, a worldview is made up of a perspective concerning reality, truth, and ethics. And that's a worldview. Now, a Christian worldview or a biblical worldview says that God is the source of reality, truth, and ethics. Now, a man-centered worldview says that man is the source of his own reality. Man makes his own reality. Man makes his own truth and makes his own ethics. Now, typically, the smartest philosophers eventually admit that man is really stupid, and man cannot make his own ethics, epistemology, and metaphysics. He cannot be in control. He can't be an ultimate metaphysical sovereign control over what happens. And the reason is because he can only jump like 2 feet off the ground.
You can jump 2 feet off the ground?
Well, for me, it's like 6 inches.
You can
so
jump
I'm even
six
less
inches
sovereign.
Off the ground.
Yeah, I'm less sovereign than you, Dave. And
well, I think you are.
I'm admitting it. I'm able to do less. I can control less of my reality than Dave. Dave, what kind of a God can only jump 2 feet off the ground?
Not a very good one. Kevin, have you ever witnessed me jump?
What's that?
Have you ever seen me jump?
I haven't.
Yeah. I should tell you something.
So what are you, like a 4-inch jump?
No. But you can usually get a couple of dimes under me.
Okay. Pretty heavy. Maybe that's part of it.
I'm not as big as God.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, could you please admit that you're not God? You're not sovereign? And I'm sorry, but whatever the Humanist Manifesto once said, that man could ultimately determine his own dreams and achieve his own dreams, is complete hogwash. So, which is, by the way, non-kosher argumentation. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, today we want to talk about what's going on in America. And in the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, and the breakdown of religious freedom, religious liberty is breaking down all over the place. Here's a study that was done by the Research Family Research Council and Liberty Institute. They record up to 600 incidents of hostility towards religion, most of which just occurred within the last 10 years. For example, a Christian couple was fired as apartment complex managers forced to move because a painting with a Christian reference was displayed in their office. Lots and lots of other examples of this. Apparently, just recently, and that's no surprise at all to me, Dave, because remember, 70% of Americans consider themselves Christians in 1970. That number about 7 years ago was 51%, and that number is falling off the cliff. I think a 13% drop in just the last 7 years, according to the International Study on Religiosity, which we considered a couple of months ago or a couple of weeks ago on this radio program. So what's happening is America is way, way less religious, way, way less Christian, and far, far less likely to admit to be religious or Christian, because we are in a major apostasy, and the public schools are making progress. Okay? The inputs, the educational, cultural, media inputs of the last 20, 30 years have been very, very, very successful. America is losing faith, as has Europe, England, and other places, Sweden, where church attendance rates are in the single digits. Friends, the faith is disappearing. And we're trying to hang on to some remnants of it. And so we're saying religious liberty is going to disappear too, because I'm sorry, but there's always a battle of worldviews. And if a Christian influence is lost in Washington, D.C., and if a Christian influence is lost around this country, then and we have a major increase of agnosticism, deism, Unitarianism, and all the other roads towards apostasy that have worked their way into the Christian church and into the philosophical thinking of the academy over the last 150 years, is made an influence. It has made an influence. If a faith dies, freedom will die. It's just the way it goes. That's why it's important to hang on to the faith and pass it on to children. Now, thankfully, Among Christian homeschoolers, we're having an average of 4 to 5 kids per family. That's going to make a difference. The other side is aborting theirs, and they're having major birth implosions all over the place. And so, you know, if there are a few families listening to this program and want to hang on to some semblance of family and faith, then we'll have some kids, we'll disciple them in the faith, and somehow we'll salvage a land of freedom where religious liberty is protected in years to come. But it's not going to happen if atheism and agnosticism continues to grow in this country. Sorry, it's not going to happen. Dave, speaking of the Family Research Council, they're very concerned in this study because they're saying, hey, religious freedoms are disappearing in America. Disappearing in America. We're facing a relentless onslaught from well-funded and aggressive groups who are using whatever means available to suppress or attack religious freedom. That's according to the Liberty Institute. Okay, so this is an article from OneNewsNow.com, and concerned that evidently Christian liberties are disappearing. However, speaking of the Family Research Council, Dave, religious liberties somewhat, I mean, there was an attempt to curtail religious liberties for the Family Research Council to continue operation because of some madmen when they tried to shoot up the place. And evidently, apparently a security guard was shot, but nobody was killed from what I understand. So now, it's interesting, you've got a very important story on your screen right now. You just pointed it out to me off air. The Southern Poverty
Law Center.
Law Center, right. The Southern Poverty Law Center just put the Family Research Council on their list prior to the shooting. I think that's important.
Well, it is important. It is important because the Southern Poverty Law Center believes that the Family Research Council is a hate group. They have labeled them as a hate group because they're, quote, anti-gay.
So apparently they put them on the hate group list, and then somebody who hated the Family Research Council shot up the place.
They shot up the place.
So help me out here. Now, I mean, I assume the Southern Poverty Law Center not involved in the shooting. I'm assuming that.
Not directly. Certainly not directly.
Not directly involved. No.
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 No. No. We're not saying that. Not saying that. But they did put the Family Research Council on their hate group list prior to the shooting. And the guy who shot up the place apparently involved in some kind of pro-homosexual group. Not surprising there.
No.
Not surprising there. The homosexual crowd, you know, historically they've had a hard time with their reputation.
Really?
All the way back to Sodom. Do you remember when they're trying to break down the doors of Sodom, Lot's house, trying to get at the visitors and his daughters and all the rest? Yeah. The violence thing, pretty strong among this crowd. So, Dave, I don't know. Should we be concerned?
I think we should be concerned. At least we should be men of Ishkar, understanding the times. We need to know the times that we live in. And the times, they are a-changing.
So are you saying that there are people out there that hate God and hate God's law and would hate us too?
I think we have to understand that our religious liberties are being assaulted right now. Now, we have it by private groups and a couple of crazy individuals. We also have it by this current government. At a council held by the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. Richard Land, a very well-known Baptist, was on a panel called Unprecedented Threats. And he said, you know, the word unprecedented, I can think of no other time in history of the United States when the Justice Department of the United States would go before the Supreme Court of the United States to make an argument, as it did in the Tabor case. Tabor was the case where there was a Lutheran teacher who had lost her job. And they said in the Tabor case that there are no particular and special protections for religion in the First Amendment, and that churches and religious affiliated organizations have no more protection under the First Amendment than a country club. No, this is Dr. Richard Land, and he's saying, look, right now they're redefining church. They're redefining the terms of the First Amendment. Even as the Supreme Court Justice, what's his name? Benedict Arnold. What was his name? Supreme Court Justice?
John Benedict Arnold Roberts.
John Benedict Arnold Roberts.
Okay,
right. Right. You can do anything you want as long as it's a tax, take life, whatever. We're looking at a time when the antithesis and the thesis are very, very clear. One is either you will serve God or you will serve the other gods. We're standing there with Joshua right now. Yep. Whether you want to serve the gods on the other side of the river or whether you want to serve the God called Yahweh, these are the two. It's a binary distinction, and you have no other choice.
So, Dave, I'm still struggling with this point. Are the bad guys going to come after us or what? I mean,
yes.
The bad guys are coming after us.
Yes. They have
been. I guess what else is new?
What else is it? We have angels. We have a sovereign Lord. Sure. What are you afraid of?
Yeah, I mean, Christ is on the throne, King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
Your eternity is fairly guaranteed, and I trust the Lord more than I...
Here's the good news. The good news is that the Southern Poverty Law Center have not put us on the hate list.
Well, that's the bad news.
I'm sorry, the hate crime list. I'm sorry, the hate whatever list.
The hate organization list. Yeah, that's the bad news. I mean, what do I have to say? What Southern Poverty Law Center, what must a man do to get on your list?
Dave, I mean, we're still safe, right? I mean, if the Southern Poverty Law Center have not yet put us on their hate list, then I think we're still safe. I mean, hopefully some madman's not going to go down the list and start working on these organizations.
Well, I don't know, Kevin. I don't know if you're safe or not, because the Obama administration with their, health care law, there's a lot of questions about what defines a church. So you're a pastor of a church. They may say, Reformation Church in Castle Rock doesn't qualify as a government-approved church, and therefore you must do this, that, or the other thing, or face additional taxes, perhaps taxes to your life.
Dave, this SPLC, I've seen the news a number of times over the last 20, 30 years, and Southern Poverty Law Center, what in the world does the Family Research Council have to do with poverty? I'm struggling with this issue. I mean, were they upset that – it could be they were upset that Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council endorsed Mitt Romney for president. Is there some connection there? I know that Tony Perkins endorsed Mitt Romney for president. I know that. That's a fact. And I took issue with that. I wasn't sure that was the best move. But, Dave, the point being, the SPLC put – the FRC, Tony Perkins FRC, on their hate list. And my question is, why? What does it have to do with poverty? I'm struggling with this issue.
Well, I think the answer is that Tony Perkins likes to eat at Chick-fil-A.
Well, I know he likes Chick-fil-A. I know for a fact that Tony Perkins likes Chick-fil-A. I know he likes Mitt Romney. But what does that have to do with the Southern Poverty Law Center? I don't know a lot about SPLC. I do know that they seem to put some of my friends, like Tony Perkins, on that list. And it bothers me. It just bothers me.
Well, we know the assailant at the shooting was carrying 15 Chick-fil-A sandwiches. We also, that's a data point.
That's
we have
data
another
point.
Data
okay.
point. Chick-fil-A sandwiches are not the least expensive food out in the marketplace. It could be that the Southern Poverty Law Center is concerned that some poor young straight kid somewhere won't be able to afford his Chick-fil-A and support things.
Boy,
like
a stretch, Dave.
What do you mean
stretch? Stretch. I'm just not buying it.
I have two data points. I'm connecting a line.
I understand, but I just don't see the correlation. All right, my friends. The SPLC is picking out groups, pro-family groups, and they're putting them on their hate list. And don't minimize this. A police officer who works for the Colorado Springs Department told me this last Sunday that their SPLC material is all over police departments, offices, at least in Colorado Springs and possibly all over this country. SPLC material makes it all over the place. And some of these Christian police officers, very, very concerned. Very concerned. Because what they're doing is they're doing their best to try to get the police officers. We're talking about the people that ought to be protecting our religious liberties to go after people like the FRC. That's my conclusion. If the SPLC is putting FRC, the Family Research Council, on their hate list, and then they're distributing their material all over the police departments all over America, then they're trying to get the police departments to investigate and go after Christian ministries. And personally, I take offense to that because I'm a Christian. That's right, I'm a Christian. And Dave, you know what they're trying to do? It's guilt by association. I think they're trying to associate some of these groups with racist groups, aren't they? They're trying to associate them with wacko, revolt against the government, take up arms, and
they're not just
trying
to. They are. Kevin, in their list in the District of Columbia of the hate groups that are identified, there are white nationalists, there are anti-immigrant groups, the Federation
of Wackos,
American Immigration Reform. It doesn't sound so wacko to me. Then you have some black separatists, you have some general hates, you have some white nationalists, and you have some anti-gay organizations. So, there's a bunch of organizations.
He's trying to lump them all together.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to lump them all together. It's very extremely dangerous, and this is the kind of thing that Nazis did all the time. Nazis would do this all the time. They just throw Christians and Jews and everybody in with other groups that might try to erode the power of government or revolt against the government, and then they go after them and shuffle them off into camps and then torture them to death. I mean, friends, that's the kind of thing SPLC is about, as far as I can tell, and it's dangerous. And listen, friends. Yeah, we sometimes stand up and say the government needs to repent of this sin and this sin and this sin, as Elijah did, as John the Baptist did, and others. I think it's appropriate for Christians to go to the Word of God and find ways in which we, as individuals, as fathers, as families, as churches, as businesses, and as governments, can repent of our sins and change the way we do things. And so that's what we do. We tell governments to repent. Now, that's a far cry difference from hate groups that are running around hating people for the color of their skin. It's a far cry from people who want to overturn the existing governments. And that's something that we constantly warn people against on this radio program. You do not take up arms and overturn governments. That kind of revolutionary forces, as exercised by the French Revolution, as exercised by the Bolsheviks in the Soviet Union, as exercised by a lot of folks over the last 200 or 300 years, is inappropriate. We're not to overturn our existing governments by military force. And we oppose people who do that. And we think that when they do that and when they kill police officers or what have you, who are working in the line of duty, these people who may call themselves patriots or whatever it is, those who are revolting against the existing order ought to be arrested. Because revolution is not the approach that we take. Now, we do stand up and say, you need to repent. We encourage righteous people to run for office and hopefully serve peacefully and serve righteously, such that they bring righteous laws to bear, given the standards of legislation and how those bills ought to be worked through the committees and onto the floor and then signed by the governor. We want righteous laws implemented and executed in this country. But the way we do it is by peaceful means, not revolutionary means. And that's one reason why the SPLC has no clue what they're talking about. No clue. They have the incipient inability to determine between what is right and what is wrong. They will lump the good with the evil, and they have no idea how to make the distinction because they do not use the Word of God to make the moral distinction between what is good and what is evil. And that's what we do on this program. Unless you go to the absolute standard of God's Word and use that as the moral ethical standard by which you judge human action, friends, you have no basis. You have no basis. You will be a confused mass of goo as you try to develop some kind of action organization to accomplish something good. You're never going to be able to define what is good, what is right, what is wrong in the postmodern relativistic world where people have no absolutes. They were trained not to have any absolutes, and they have no idea where to go to find an absolute law whereby you may judge between what is good and what is evil. We go to the Word of God. That, my friends, is a biblical worldview. And the Bible is dead set against revolution. That's Romans, if you can look it up. All right, folks, we'll be back in just a moment with just a little bit more news that you need to use. Be back in just a moment.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates. Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trustest to the book called the Scriptures, thou trustest to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
All right, we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here. I tell you, we live in an upside-down world where story after story, man bites dog stories, Dave. I mean, these stories are incredible. Already talk about the SPLC putting the FRC on the hate crime list, and then apparently they were hated by somebody who shot up the place. Friends, I mean, there's some crazy things going on in this world right now. I mean, they are just nuts. And, Dave, I mean, here's an interesting story. I mean, here's Madonna. You know the singer Madonna? She
right.
made her way to Moscow, I guess. And she's out there trying to sell homosexuality in Moscow or St. Petersburg.
St. Pete.
Yeah. And she's in trouble.
Well, she's getting sued.
Yeah.
I mean, $10.5 million.
$10.5 million.
I don't know if that's a lot to Madonna. Maybe that's what they...
It's a lot for Russia.
Maybe that's what they paid her to sing at the Super Bowl last year. Something
be.
Like that.
Could be. But they're up in arms. Because, see, Russia apparently has a higher standard of righteousness than America. Can you believe that? Now, we've already talked about how Lady Gaga got chucked out of Indonesia and some of these other nations where they still had some semblance of morality. And there's a couple nations out there that still have some semblance of morality. Typically, they're not, you know, the old Western Christian nations that are all drying up and dying out because of their immoral conditions. There's rabidly immoral conditions in the breakdown of the family that's happening in most of these developed Western nations. But Russia apparently is still hanging on to some kind of standard. By the way, there was a Moscow city council decision that forbade gay pride marches there for 100 years.
Same thing in St. Petersburg. And this is
yeah.
this is why this is important. By the way, this is reported by the Rolling Stone. Certainly not a conservative paper.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the Rolling Stone here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this trio of groups in Russia, in St. Petersburg, the Union of Russian Citizens, the Civil Group of People's Assembly and the New Great Russian Party filed this lawsuit against Madonna. And get a load of this. Quote, we demand that she pay for moral damage suffered by St. Petersburg residents as a result of her actions during a show on August 9th. We must defend our right to normal cultural life without propaganda of values and views that contradict the Russian culture. Wow.
Yeah,
I mean, I think these people could get on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate map.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like California, does it? California's out there doing everything they can to indoctrinate teens or young 9-10-year-olds in homosexuality. Meantime, Moscow is saying, no, probably not a good thing for your 9- and 10-year-olds.
Well, this
so
is
it's interesting that Moscow's doing better than California. You know, why don't we move to Russia?
Well, you know,
I mean, you know.
Maybe we should.
Who knows? Okay, friends, I mean... There are some things happening in your country right now. If you live in America, if you live in the West, there are some things happening in your nation that are setting a very, very bad trajectory for the future. This is a bad trajectory. Our nation is going the wrong direction. Now, could it be that there are other nations that are actually going the right direction? Could it be? I mean, I know that it will boggle the mind of Americans who thought they were in the most righteous, wonderful, God-fearing, Christian, freedom-loving nation that ever existed. But, friends, you cannot separate morality from freedom. You can't. The reason why we are moving more and more towards tyranny in this country is because of what our founders would say. If you're not governed by God, then by God you'll be governed. You'll either be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. Men who will not be ruled by God's law will be governed by tyrants. This is what William Penn and Benjamin Franklin would say. They say it all the time. That's what people understood in America. They knew that for the unrighteousness of a nation, many would be the princes thereof. That's a proverb. They knew that you would get a massive, massive bureaucracy and you would see all kinds of tyranny descending upon a nation, especially if the morality of the nation was eroded. Dave, the same thing happened in the development of the Nazi government. And this is one reason why... the fellow from Moody, help me out. He's coming to speak next year at the Czech conference.
Erwin Lutzer.
Erwin Lutzer has written a book, and we want to interview Erwin Lutzer. He's written a book on why America looks a lot like Nazi Germany. If you read about how the early Nazis got their start, got started in a gay bar. That's where the Nazis started. The homosexuals virtually dominated the Nazi party early on, very early on. Now, eventually, they lost ground. But that's where it started. It started with a very, very pro-homosexual approach. In fact, you look at a lot of the artwork in Germany at that time, there's a huge amount of homosexual art, statues and all the rest, and we're all part of the Nazi regime. This is not a secret at all. It's just a matter of opening a few books and reading some of what they had to say and looking at some of the artwork and some of the statutes around Berlin at that time. It was a very edgy time. There was a breakdown of morality. There was a huge rise in homosexuality in Berlin at that time. And, of course, concomitant with that was the growth of the National Socialist Party and the incredible tyranny that Adolf Hitler brought upon that nation. So when you get a breakdown of the morality of a nation, you're probably going to have a concomitant increase in tyranny. That's what our founders would say. That's what Benjamin Franklin would say. Either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. That is, God will, by his sovereignty, govern, bring a government upon you, bring a tyranny upon you that will force you into a massive, massive tyranny unless you learn to live your life by his law. The only way we can maximize liberty is by living by the laws of God. Now, these things come concomitantly. Our founders understood it, and we need to bring this principle back to play. Okay, so we've got all these weird stories. I mean, all these upside-down stories. Who would have thought that Moscow and St. Petersburg would have taken a conservative position, a more pro-family, a more pro-moral position on some of these issues? I mean, wild. I mean, tell you what, there's some problems with Russia, huge problems with what's going on in Russia today. And we could go over all those issues. They have their own egregious abridgment of the commandments of God. They break the sixth commandment still. I believe there's a fair amount of tyranny where people are probably unjustly tyrannized. Their property is taken away from them, and their person is persecuted because of the egregious laws of the state. So we understand that there are some things that Moscow, some things that Russia does badly. In fact, I think I read recently that some of the small little Baptist denominations have been subjected to even more persecution just recently. So there certainly are some bad things going on there as well. And so just, I guess you got to pick your country. You got to list all 10 commandments. Got to list your list of freedoms and say, which freedom do I want and which nation has set the better trajectory? And that's probably going to be one of the better nations. All right. Now, one last story, Dave, before we break. And this one's, I had to read this one twice because I couldn't believe it. This comes from the UK. Apparently, there's this cannibal in the UK. He's been arrested. I mean, you know, this is a true cannibal. I mean, this is a murder cannibal. I mean, this is a bad guy. His name is Graham Fisher. He's 39 years old. They've been taking care of this guy, apparently at a prison called the Broadmoor Hospital in Berkshire since 2001. The state's been spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on this guy. And apparently just recently, he had lap band surgery to get his weight under control. Cost the state $24,000. So this cannibal, you know, lap band surgery. Apparently he's been eating too much.
Couldn't you just eat more chicken? I see billboards all around saying eat more chicken.
You know what? I think he was eating too much of everything. And he's eating some of the wrong things, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think
we already touched on that.
He's eating folks.
Yeah, he's eating the wrong things. You can't make this up.
No.
You can't make this up. I mean, you know, sometimes we do a little satire on the program. I don't know what to say about the story, Dave. I mean, you know, here's a cannibal that's he's had lap band surgery for his weight problem. So, okay.
What can we say? I mean, most everything we say will be offensive. Well, because the whole story's so offensive. The tyranny's offensive. The government expense is offensive. The cannibalism's offensive.
The taxpayers paying for lap band surgery for the cannibal.
And if you saw a picture of this guy,
I don't know. No, thanks.
No, Kevin. Oh, I mean,
no thanks.
He's got the unibrow.
No thanks. Just close the computer. I'd rather not see. Folks, Genesis 9:6. It's all I'm going to say. It's in the Bible. It's about nine pages in from the beginning. Genesis 9:6. It's a great passage. Okay, folks. Yeah, the world's pretty messed up, really, really, really messed up, because we have abandoned God's word as the source of our truth and the source of our ethics. And friends, when that happens, it's going to be chaos. It's going to be chaos. It's going to be nuts. Just plain old nuts. Okay, get into the word of God. Get the word of God into your children. And you know what? Give your 9-year-old the basics with our little book. What does the Bible say about that? Dave, I took the basic stuff of the Bible. I put it into a little book called What Does the Bible Say About That? It's a workbook for 9-year-olds. By the way, Senator Kevin Lundberg here in the state of Colorado took a look at it. He said, this is great. We need to get a copy to every senator in the Colorado legislature.
And it's perfect for them. It's got pictures and like cartoons you could
big
color.
14-point font.
Yeah, it's like a coloring book.
Yeah.
We could send it to each congressman
with a
pack of crayons.
With some crayons, yeah.
That'd be perfect.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want your children rooted and grounded in common sense, biblical truth, a standard where there is no standard in the present day, give your children the basics. And that's what my book, What Does the Bible Say About That? That's basically what it is. It starts with the nature of truth, epistemology, nature of reality, metaphysics, ethics, origins, gets into sociology, anthropology, family, church, and state, kind of walks through it. So at the end, our children get a clue. Folks, I really think our children are going to get an opportunity to put our world back together in the years to come. I really believe that. They will get the opportunity to put our world back together. Our children, maybe our grandchildren. But the vision for bringing a biblical worldview back is already started in the lives and the families and the homes of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people around America. And we're going to do it. As the socialists and the folks that are really messed up and have no basis for ethics, as they mess up our world, we're going to be able to put it back together with the basics. The basics. I'm just talking about the basics. The basic biblical worldview. And you're going to find it in my book, What Does the Bible Say About That? Available at our website, kevinswanson.com. And oh, by the way, 25% off for the next 2 to 3 weeks. So we're at this 25% off sale. Just it's a curriculum sale as our homeschoolers around the country are starting out with the 2012-2013 school year. So for that, we're doing this 25% sale. All available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.